scripture reading for the sermon text is going to be from Matthew 6. This is the Lord's Prayer, which we've already recited. And so we'll read the entire prayer. And if you would, please stand as we hear God's word this morning. So Matthew 6, our focus will be on the second half of verse 9. But I would like to read all the way through from verse 9 through verse 13. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 9, beloved, this is the word of God. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord remains forever. If you would, please pray with me once again. Let's pray together. Father, our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. We recognize, O Lord, that you have ordained that the salvation of your people would be accomplished through the hearing and the preaching of your word. And so we pray, Father, that your spirit would be at work in the hearts of your people. We pray that you would draw your children to yourself as they hear the gospel proclaimed, and that your name would be magnified. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen. Now you may be seated. Well, as Alex mentioned earlier, I'm a pastor at Providence Presbyterian Church, and we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew in the evenings, and it's been a delight to go through the Lord's Prayer, and we've been going through each petition, one petition at a time. And this morning, we will look at the first petition in the Lord's Prayer, which is, Hallowed be your name. And of course, the first part of the Lord's Prayer is the preface, Our Father in heaven. So I'll mention that briefly, but this morning we will look at Hallowed be your name. Now, Jesus' teaching in the preface about how we address God in prayer, it sets the tone for the petitions and the rest of the prayer. The preface is the first part, Our Father in heaven. How are you to address God in prayer? That is what the preface deals with. You address him as your God and Father in heaven. He is your Father and he dwells in heaven. Recognizing that, that sets the tone for the petitions, which are requests. These are what we request from God, that his name would be hallowed is the first one. We approach God boldly in Christ as our Father, all the while recognizing that our Father, the only true living God, is in heaven. Yes, he is our Father, but he is in heaven, so he is very much unlike any earthly father that we know in this age. And so our eyes are already directed toward heaven in prayer. That is where our hearts are pointed from the preface, Father in heaven. That is where our minds are situated. We already begin when we come to God in prayer. We think about the glory and the beauty of heaven and the glory and the holiness of our Father who is in heaven. That is what the preface does. He is your Father in heaven. We are already thinking about that incredible fact that he has become our Father through Jesus, and yet he dwells in heaven. And so the first petition flows from the preface. It is a natural and logical flowing from the preface. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And with this one request in its substance and in the very words that are put on the lips of believers in every age, just like you and I this morning and like you do every week at this church, you put these words that Jesus gave his disciple on your lips in every generation. Many churches do this. But as you do this, as you pray these words, hallowed be your name, in the substance of these words, you get a lesson on what all of created existence is for. Why is everything here? You learn this, you learn the answer to that question in this petition. Why do the stars and the planets and the galaxies exist? Why is there a sun and the moon? Why do they carry matchless light into the world every day and every night? Why are there birds in the heavens? Why are there beasts of the fields? Why are there oceans and all creatures of the oceans? Why is there man? Why is man made in the image of God? And Why does he have all of these gifts and all this wisdom and personality and differences and all different kinds of people? Why is it this way? And why is man redeemed? Why do we worship? Why are we here this morning? Why do we sing? Why do we pray? Why do we preach? Well, everything exists. All of those questions can be answered by this petition. Everything exists for one thing, to bring glory to God. That is why all of these things are here. That is why you are saved. That is why Jesus came to this earth, to do one thing ultimately, to bring glory to God. That is what this first request is about. For from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. The Lord created all things, and he does all things for his own glory. And as he does this, he says, as we heard already, my glory I will not give to another. So everything exists for his glory, and everything happens for his glory. That is what this request teaches us today. Angels sing to him night and day. They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy is the Lord to receive glory and honor and power. And therefore, if this is true, and it is, if everything exists for his glory and everything happens and falls out in history for his glory, therefore, if this is true, then therefore any philosophy or religion or theology that does not agree with God's word is an attempt, and this is what God's word teaches, that everything exists for his glory. If any teaching does not agree with that, then that teaching is an attempt to rob God of his glory. If it does not comply with what the word teaches us about all of reality, and about all of history, then that philosophy, that theology, that teaching is an attempt to rob God of his glory. And to give that glory to what? To the creature. That is what that is. Where do we see that? Well, we can see that, for example, in a theology that says this, that says man contributes to his salvation. That is one attempt to rob God of his glory. To say that the universe has evolved over millions of years and that the current man that we know and the current animals that we see are products of this long evolutionary process that has come about and that continues to play out by some impersonal mechanical force. That is another attempt to rob God of his glory. It gives you another reason why the things are here, why they are here. You see that. That is an attempt to rob God of his glory and to give that glory to the creature. Those are just but two examples. We could name thousands upon thousands of other ideas that seek to do just that, to rob God of his glory. In fact, Jesus, in this gospel, he had just mentioned, before his teaching on the Lord's Prayer here, he had just mentioned how the hypocrites in this gospel were the unbelieving Jews and the false teachers, the false leaders in Jesus' circles in Jerusalem and in Israel at the time. He had just said that the hypocrites sought to rob God of his glory. How did they do this? Well, they did it through their prayer life. They wanted to be seen when they prayed. They wanted to be worshipped by men when they prayed. And so they stood on the street corner. They positioned themselves in the most conspicuous places in that region so that the people could see just how spiritual they were and just how devoted to God they were. That was an attempt to rob God of his glory. They wanted to be seen by men. They wanted the glory that came from men. That is an example of robbing God of his glory. They refused to receive and accept what we learn in this first petition. The Jewish leaders did. They refused it. They refused to accept what this petition teaches us, and that is that everything exists, including the Jews, the sacrifices, the temple, everything that they gloried in. Everything exists to bring glory to God. The Messiah, the prophecies about the Messiah in the flesh teaching his disciples about prayer, this was all happening to bring glory to God so that his name might be hallowed. The Jewish leaders refused to accept that truth. They wanted to bring glory to themselves. They wanted to rob God of his glory. The prayer requests that God's name might be hallowed simply repeats back to God, friends. It simply repeats back to him what he has already set in motion. and what he is already doing, and that is the glorifying of his name in and through all things. And so we pray back to God, Lord, hallow your name. We ask that he would continue to do the process that he has already set in motion by bringing this world into existence and by saving a people for himself. Lord, hallow your name. Make your name glorious. Make yourself be glorified in this world. Now, Jesus mentions God's name in this petition. Hallowed be your name. That is what we are to pray for in this petition, that God's name would be hallowed. And so Jesus refers to God's name. Well, referring to the name of God is equivalent to referring to God himself. Because in the names of God, we learn about who God is. We learn about what he is like. We learn about his characteristics and what he is like in relationship to his people. And so his names tell us something about himself. His names reveal himself. They reveal something about God to us. And so when we say his name or mention God's name, we are referring to God himself. The names of God reveal God. They reveal his attributes, his love, his character, his power, his relationship to us. The name of God, friends, is also personal. And therefore, his name reveals that God is not distant. He is holy, yes, and we are to hallow his name. He is, in terms of his being, he is separated from us. There is nothing like him. There is one living and true God, and he is all glorious, all powerful, and nothing can compare to that glory. And so, yes, he is separated from us in terms of his being, but he fills all of heaven and earth. He is not distant from us. And so for him to have a name and to reveal his name to us shows us that he is very near to all of his creation. He is very near to us. He is ever present throughout creation. He upholds all of creation by his power. Now, the name Father, for example, the name Father shows and teaches us that the all-powerful God has come near to us in his Son. We name God Father in the preface of the Lord's Prayer, our Father. What does that say about God? It says that he loves you eternally, and that he has become your father through his son. And so that name, the name Father, already teaches you something about the nearness of God. Yes, he is in heaven, but he has come near to you in Jesus Christ. And so we want that name to be hallowed. We want that name to be magnified. And so his name, again, his name reveals something about himself. It is he has personal names because he is a personal God. He comes near to us in Jesus Christ. Later, we learn that from Jesus that after he was raised from the dead, that the preaching and teaching ministry of the church and the proper administration of the sacraments in every age, the ministry of the church, ministry of the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, very simple things, that as the church does this in every age, those things, those activities, hallow God's name. Listen to what Jesus says. After he's been raised from the dead, and he gives this charge to the church, he says this, at the end of this gospel, make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so then, baptism, for example, and if you attach that, the Lord's Supper to that as well, include the sacraments of the Lord's church, those bring glory to the name of God. We baptize in the name of God, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in the sacrament of baptism, the name of God is hallowed. Now, one thing that we should know in thinking about God's name is that he names himself. We are not free to give names to God as we choose. God names himself. God gives us his name, and he gives us his name and his names through special revelation, namely the scriptures. That is where we learn about the name of God, what we are to call him. And so we bring glory to God when we use these names, when we put these names on our mouths, when we say in our prayers, our Father in heaven, we glorify God. We bring glory to his name. We hallow God. We hallow his name. In this petition, we are asking God to hallow his name. Now, to hallow means to acknowledge that His name is divine and sacred. It means to recognize and appreciate, fully appreciate, that there is something special about His name, that His name is above all names, that it is not like any other name. To hallow it means to revere it, to treat it as holy, to set it apart as something very sacred. Hallowing something means to give it the honor it deserves. That is what hallowing means, to honor it the way it needs to be honored, to give it the honor and recognition and reverence that it deserves. And so we are praying then that God's name would receive the highest honor and reverence of all things, that His name would receive the highest honor and reverence in everything that we do and everything that happens in the world, in our lives and in all the world, through the things by which God makes Himself known. We are praying that His name would be revered, that people would hold His name in the highest honor and give it the highest glory. And so, when we pray this prayer, when we pray this request, Lord, hallow Your name, life in this world is in view. Now, remember, our thoughts and our attention is directed to heaven, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be Your name. And so we are thinking about heaven. We are praying to the God in heaven. And we want the name of the God in heaven to be hallowed, but we want that name to be hallowed here on earth. We want the things that take place in this age, in this earth, in our lives, to bring glory to His name. And so life in this world is in view in this prayer. It is essentially asking, this request, this petition, is essentially asking that the glory of the knowledge of the Lord would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. That is something that one of the prophets talked about in the prophecies about all of existence, all of history. The knowledge of the glory of God will fill all of the earth as the waters cover the sea. We were praying that that would come to pass, that that would take place in our lives in this world. In this petition, we also recognize that we, as God's children, and all people in general as well, but that we as God's children, in and of ourselves, apart from God's grace, that we are utterly unable, in and of ourselves, to properly hallow God's name. You can't do this. You can't hallow God's name. I can't hallow God's name appropriately. We need divine help. We need the Spirit of God to help us to hallow His name, to make His name glorious. And so, unless, as we pray this petition, Lord, hallow Your name, we recognize that unless God opens our lips to praise Him, then we won't do it. Unless God opens your mouth to sing praises to Him, you won't do it. We can't do it. We are unable to do it. And so we need divine help. We need our Father in heaven to cause us to do this. And we know that even as God's children, even though He's already done the work of giving us His Spirit, giving us a new heart, He's put praises on your lips, He's made you so that you can hallow His name, we know in this petition and we recognize that we always struggle against the old man. And that apart from grace, apart from the divine help of the Lord Jesus Christ, we won't hallow His name. We can't. We are unable. We're weak. And so we pray, God, make us able and willing to glorify Your name, to revere Your name as it properly should be revered by our lives and by our testimony. And so we're asking our Father, Father in heaven, open our lips to bring glory to Your name. Make Your name hallowed through our work, through our activities, and through our words and our desires. And so we are praying that God, the God in heaven, our Father, would enable us and compel us to hallow His name. And how do we do this? Well, we honor His name. We honor God's name by bringing glory to His name, by properly honoring His word, and by properly honoring His works. Now, we don't, as we think about how the hallowing of God's name, that His name would be honored, revered in this world, we don't have to look very far or listen too closely in the workplace or on the TV to see and hear that the name of God is not properly hallowed, is it? It's not properly honored. You don't have to look very far to see that the name of Jesus is put on the lips of people as a cuss word. The work of Jesus, his humiliation, that he would come to this earth and die an ignoble death on a cross for sinners, that work is made fun of. It's laughed at. It's scorned. It's used as jokes. And so the name of God is not hallowed. You don't have to look very far to see that not many people have much thought for the hallowing of God's name, the name of Jesus, the name of God our Father. It doesn't take place in the world. In fact, his name is profaned. His name is blasphemed in the world. That is what takes place apart from his grace. And so we pray that his name would be hallowed, because it's not. It's profaned. The name of God is used, the name of God, the name of Jesus, it's used to make money. It's used to manipulate people. The humiliation of the Son of God, again, it's spoken of in a sarcastic manner. It's spoken of in a condescending manner, that people would actually live their lives with a firm commitment to that belief in the message that the Bible teaches, that the message that the gospel gives. And so unless God powerfully works in the world by his Spirit, then men all over the world will profane his name. That is what would take place. If God doesn't answer this prayer, then his name will be profaned. And so we pray, Father, make your name be revered. Do this work, because we can't, because your name is not properly hallowed. Now, in Scripture, God's name is closely associated with his glory. That is why we exist, to magnify that glory, to glorify him in all that we think, say, and do. We see this in the Holy Scriptures. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And so the name of God, the hallowing of his name, is dealing with the glorifying of God, that all things would bring glory to him. Now, the flip side of this petition, of course, is that God would remove everything in us that does not hallow his name. We know that we still have within us things and desires, words and activities that do not bring glory to his name. You confess that you are a Christian, but you know that you don't always live that out, and that you don't always faithfully bear witness to the grace of God that is inside of you. How do you do this? Well, you do this by your words and by your actions. And we all know, we all do this, we all know that there are still remnants in us that do not properly hallow the name of God. And so we ask in this petition that God would hallow his name, but that he would remove in his people, remove in us, all the things that do not properly give him glory, that do not properly bring the name of God, the name of Christ, glory. And so we ask him to remove unbelief. We say, Father, remove pride, remove vainglory, remove idolatry, remove whatever else dishonors your name. Find in me whatever brings dishonor to your name and take it out of us. That is what we are praying for in this petition. And friends, as we do this, as you do this, and this is something that is to be continual, right? Pray then like this, and then he teaches you to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so this is to be ongoing communication between you and your Father in heaven, that he would hallow his name through you, that he would enable you to hallow his name, and that he would remove from you everything that does not bring him glory. And so we are to do this continually. You are to continually pray to your Father in heaven, hallow your name, O God. And as we do this, friends, we continually look to Christ. We continually look to Jesus Christ, and we ask that the Lord would magnify that name. Lord, magnify the name of Jesus through your people. Magnify the name of Jesus in the world. Glorify that name in the world. May people hallow that name and revere it. Hallow it. Give it the glory and the honor that it deserves. God, make that name, the name of Jesus, be hallowed in your people and in the world. Why do we do that? Because it's in that name that the Son of God hallowed the name of God. It is in the name of Jesus that Christ, your Savior, revered the name of his Father. He brought glory to his Father by dying in your place for sins. That is why we pray that God would hallow his name. And in so doing, we pray that the name of Jesus would be hallowed. Because the Son is God, and his name is to be hallowed in the same way that the name of God is to be hallowed. And so we pray, Father in heaven, hallow your name. Take everything out of us that does not bring glory to the name of Jesus, that does not bring glory to the name of Christ, who laid down his life, who shed his blood to save us, so that we might pray this prayer, so that we might be able to come to our Father in heaven and make this request. Father, hallowed be your name. And so, friends, continue to pray this. Pray this prayer, make this request, knowing that your Father will answer it according to his will. Lord, hallowed be your name. May the name of your Son be hallowed in all the world and through your people. This is what we learn from the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. To Christ be all praise and glory, now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we come before you recognizing your holy majesty and glory. Father, you are our Father in heaven, and that we have become your children through Jesus, your Son. And so we praise you, O Lord, and we thank you, and we give you, in your name, the honor it deserves, recognizing that we are undeserving of your love, and yet you pour it out infinitely upon us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and by your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we pray that you would hear our request, this first petition that our Savior teaches us to pray. Father, may your name be honored in all the world. We pray that you would, by your sovereign power and pleasure, turn evil into good. And we recognize, O Lord, that though you are not the author of evil, there is no sin in you, for you are light, and there's no darkness in you at all. We recognize that there is darkness in this world, and there's darkness in us. We pray, Lord, that you would remove the darkness in us and use all the wicked deeds of men in this world and turn them to good, turn them for the sake of your glory, for the good of your people. Father, we do pray that you would hallow your name through us, and we thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers and that you act on behalf of your name, and that you act on behalf of your glory. Father, we ask that this would be so to the praise of your glorious grace in Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.